This podcast is brought to you by Vivino. Discover and buy wines wherever you are. Visit vivino.com/heritage to stock up.
I'm Souther Teague of Amore Amargo and the co-host of The Speakeasy right here on Heritage Radio Network. You know, my favorite thing to do every week is to come here and be on the show. I have lots of jobs. I am a very busy person. And I do this because I love it. I get to sit down and talk to all my heroes for about an hour every week. It's incredible. And I hope that you enjoy it, making a great effort to share with you. And we'd like you to share back with us. It's our summer fundraiser, and we'd love for you to donate at heritageradionetwork.org/donate. You can click on the beating heart, and you can even choose shows that you'd like to donate to specifically. And you can also choose a recurring monthly gift. And for all that, we'd be greatly appreciative. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm HRN's Executive Director, Katie Mosman Wadler, with a preview of this week's episode of Meat and Three, our weekly food news roundup. This week's theme is youth. We'll have a report on how migrant children separated from their families at the U.S. border are being housed and fed.
Right now, what we're very worried about is just the influx of kids created by this zero tolerance policy.
We'll also look into a program that's ensuring free summer meals for kids are only a text message away.
Summer is the hungriest time of year for a kid who may not have that safety net of school meals.
We discover a new home economics curriculum.
I'm not trying to raise a generation of chefs. I'm trying to raise a generation of nourishers who can nourish themselves.
And we meet a teen chef who's talked his way into several of New York's top kitchens.
I never try and be, like, annoying about it, but I really want to get my foot in the door.
Tune in to this week's episode of Meat and Three, available at heritageradionetwork.org and wherever you get your podcasts.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
And my name is Souther Teague.
Souther.
Hey, Damon.
How are you?
I am well.
Excellent.
Well.
How was your 4th of July?
You know, I took it as a mental day. I closed Amore Amargo on the 4th of July for the first time ever. And I didn't leave my apartment.
That's great.
I hung out by myself.
How many times did you order seamless?
That's not true. I actually left for 2 hours. I walked over to Bar Goto and had a drink at the bar and a snack at the bar.
Did you have wings and celery?
I just had, you know, they got the new cauliflower tots that are just ridiculous.
I've not had those yet.
You feel somewhat healthy because it's cauliflower.
It's
probably not healthy.
Witchcraft that makes me think that I'm going to be healthy.
But screw my 4th of July. I mean, it was great. I needed it. I needed to take a day fuck it, I'm not doing anything.
Like in Radio Land, our 4th of July was spent with...
With Wunderich and Rothbaum getting iced.
We got iced.
That was pretty epic.
Yeah.
Those dudes are really hilarious.
I was thinking about that while
I aspire to their hilarity level.
I know, it's amazing. I was thinking about that while I was in Texas.
You were in Texas for the 4th of July.
Yeah, for Willie.
You were in a whole other country.
4th of July picnic. Yeah.
The great nation of Texas. For Willie Nelson's 4th of July picnic.
He's, 84, 85 now? Something like that. He keeps slowing down and getting quieter.
He's more.
But he's not stopping.
Gently stroking the guitar and whispering into the microphone.
He's still ripping on the guitar, man.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. His cadence in his vocals is a little. I was having this conversation with someone.
Luckily, he kind of already had that. He's
already gypsy jazz. I know that there's like I'm a musician, and I know that there's like I'm not a great musician. I can pick up guitar and play it. I can find middle C on a piano. That's about all I can do on a piano. But the thing is. I was like talking with some people about this after that show. I was like, "Is there something I don't know about like jazz that I'm missing here?" Because like he's like he kind of always like stumbles upon the one, like coming back. Like his cadence is just all over the place, and he just kind of finds his way back into the lines of the song.
Sure,
which I think is amazing. But I'm like, it like keeps you on the edge of your seat, you know? Like, you're like, what?
Yeah, where's he going? Where's he going?
Oh, and he landed it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
But, only let him slip away. Yeah, that's him.
No, he's more like, but they only let him slip away.
Right, and then he ropes it.
You got to kind of decide, I suppose. And then, like, right on the one. And you're like, what the hell just happened here? Fucking Willie Nelson, man. Anyway, that was cool.
Yeah, you were out there with a group, right?
I was out there. My twin brother and his fiance met me out there, and we were hosted by the great Michter's brand ambassador, John Holzinger.
Yeah, man. Big John.
Big John, man. We were having a good time, man.
Yeah, I saw some of that stuff on your Instagram.
Had a refrigerator full of Lone Star and a counter full of Michter's whiskey. The entire time.
Lone Star, the national beer.
And breakfast tacos
Texas.
every
you know, hour on the
every
hour.
Every breakfast and lunch, actually. And we went to, we hit three barbecue spots in one day and bought some hats.
A new hat?
Not cowboy hats.
Just hats.
Just called hats down there. You know? I call it hats where I'm from.
Right, right. In Mexico, Mexican food is just food.
Exactly. Yeah, so that was a good time, man. And also, it was great to, like, go visit a bunch of bars that... you know, revisit them and visit a bunch of new ones. Actually, like, I hadn't been to The Weather Up down there. I hadn't been to, I had interviewed, this is before you were on the show, mm-hmm. Scranton Tooley, who owns a really cool bar called Whistlers in like the east side.
Right.
Where it's all happening over there. So I got to, finally, 4 years later, yeah, I interviewed him 4 years ago.
Right.
But it was a phone interview. But I got to go visit that bar. It was lovely. An amazing spot. Got to go to Bostic, Chris Bostic.
Love him.
Bostic spot, Half Step.
What an amazing dude he is, too. Really charismatic.
Yeah, totally, man. It was just a really good trip. And I hadn't been to Austin in, like, I hate to say this, but it had been, like, 7 years or so. And it's changed a bunch. And there's, honestly, like, people can say that about any city, really. But, like, Austin's got, like, an amazing, amazing food and booze scene. I mean, they always did have that, but it's just crazy now. I feel the same way about Nashville, which I'm going to here in, like, I guess within the next couple months. I know that I haven't been there in, like, even longer, like 10 years probably, but I can't wait to see how that place has changed. I'm not afraid of change.
No.
Are you afraid of change?
Nope.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I mean, like,
I don't think any of us would be here if it wasn't for change.
That's true. And, you know, like, there's, you know, you got to take good with the bad with the good and everything. But, like, I think that seeing the way that, especially in our industry, you know, like, seeing, like, progression of all the bars and restaurants and just, like, the education and kind of, like, the enthusiasm of the industry and for the industry, not just, like, internally, but, like, for, you know, the wider spread audience, you know, is really cool. And actually, that kind of...
We've broken the fourth wall, you know. We no longer exclude the guest from the goings-on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's a good segue to introduce our guest today, actually.
Absolutely. Today we got Matt Curry here, who is the creator of the New York Cocktail Expo, which is coming up. We're going to talk about that a lot. But you've also done a lot of cool things like Best Wings Festival, you know, some barbecue events. You've written a lot for a bunch of people. But you've never actually been behind a bar as a professional, is that right?
Well, first, thanks, guys, for having me.
Hey, man, welcome.
Yeah, no, thanks so much, Damon Sutter. It's a pleasure to be here. You know what? After doing this stuff, and really my background starts off as being an enthusiast.
Yeah.
You know, growing up in
alcoholic.
The family. Layer zero term. Let's get down to it. Let's reduce it, right? My father was a cook, you know. My mother was a cook as well. Loved growing up and cooking food. So as soon as I found out it was all about recipes and cool ingredients and technique and stuff, I said, okay, this is for me. So after starting the Cocktail Expo, I said, you know what? I got to get behind the bar. I got to get behind the bar and see what this is about, because so much of my philosophy was on this side of the bar as the guest.
Sure.
Speaking to that. And I said,
the good side of the bar.
Let me get behind the bar. Let me get behind the stick. So I did have a chance to do sort of a mild apprenticeship at a couple really cool cocktail bars, actually on Long Island, some guys doing some really standout stuff.
Nice.
And when I was there, I said, I need the foundation. I'm going to go to a dive bar, get behind the stick, pour beers, pour shots.
Sure. Yeah.
And just get down in the roughage.
Tend bar.
So
that's tending bar.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know, and it's funny, speaking about tending bar and going into philosophy, it's like, what are you really tending? And that's a bigger question.
Correct.
And so really, really great opportunity for me. And then I was just able to speak to so much more of the things and really relate with everybody that I was talking to about the Cocktail Expo.
But wait, now this happened pre or post your first New York Expo?
I did the first New York Cocktail Expo in 2016. And after I did that one,
then you went and got behind the bar.
They were kind
of... that's where I was confused. That's amazing, though.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was such a valuable experience for me because, once again, you're seeing it from the other side of the bar. And that's when you can start to speak to the things that you care about as a guest. You know, human beings are vibration-based. We're not returning to a drink. We're returning to a feeling. That's why comedians always end on a high note. This way, I can't wait to feel that again. I have to tell everybody about it. And that's why it's so important. My background, I was a musician. As we were talking about. So it's about playing songs, giving people an experience, and they want to come back for more. And I love the showmanship behind the bar. That's just part of everything I did.
I always say to my staff and any staff that I train, like if I'm doing a consulting job, if it's my bar, whatever, like everyone's on stage. Like put your best face forward.
Yeah.
And like be a team.
We're clean.
Like, and like, let's rock this out and like, at the end of the night, which is like, you know, maybe there's an encore after closing time, but
right,
but yeah, but you have to treat it like you're on
you're
stage.
You're not in a bubble. You're visible the whole time.
Absolutely.
It's, I think, you know,
everything
I'm,
you do.
Yeah, as this in this, I'm a bar goer. I go from bar to bar. I'll go to high-end
alcoholic
cocktail bar. I'll go to my accounts. I'll visit my accounts. And look, I'm going to dives. I'm going to cocktail bars. And most of the time, I'm paying attention, actually, a lot on the crowd and why they're there and what are you doing here? And what is it? They all say the same thing because I feel amazing here.
Yeah.
And it's about vibration. So
that's interesting.
You know, you think... Yeah. You
I think that's a common response. Like, I love this place.
Well, you know, no, I'm just thinking,
I think it's
like,
rarer that people say, I love this thing they have. I love this place, is what they say.
Exactly. They're coming together in a vibration. And that's what this whole thing is. It's like, if you concentrate on how you make people feel, you will run a good business. Because that's how human beings, what they respond to. And it reminds me, when I'm out, I have so many experiences. And imagine you're at a great cocktail bar. The bartender has been working weeks or months, however long, on this perfect recipe. And every detail is down. Everything is perfect. And when he finally serves it to you, he's so proud. He's like, he can't wait for that first sip. You take the first sip, he gets the response that he wants, that, ooh, eyes are opening. Ooh, suddenly it's your favorite cocktail. It's now your favorite place. Then you get a text message. It's horrible news. It's a bad loss. It's something that you just cannot deflect. All of a sudden, you are anxious. You don't feel well. Your drink is soured. It's now the worst drink you've had, and you never want to go back to the place because you don't want to revisit that feeling.
Yep.
This is why hospitality comes first before anything else in bartending, because vibration and how you make someone feel is key to what your drink experience is going to be like.
And that's also why you shouldn't be on your cell phone at a fucking bar.
Oof, yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. You know, I've talked all the time about, like, there's, you know, I was a chef for 12 years before being behind the bar. And I used to, you know, when I go to places that are restaurants but have televisions, that would be kind of my same story. I would say, okay, here's the deal. A guy and a girl are on a date, and the girl has her back to the TV, and the guy can see the TV, and it's his favorite team playing, and everything goes pretty fine. But after the thing is over and his team loses, right, something about that place bothers him, and she can't really tell why she's bothered by that place, but it's because she's being ignored the whole time, right? All the food was good. All the service was good. Everything was good. TVs are terrible in a restaurant.
I agree.
Sports bar, perfect. Cocktail bar, no.
Never.
No, absolutely. And that's so funny that you're talking about your team. It's, you know, hospitality starts with your team.
By the bar. Absolutely.
If you go to a friend's house party and the hosts aren't getting along, they had a fight or something, that vibration is the source of the party.
Right.
So hospitality really starts, and you can't project that type of emotion and feeling if the team isn't projecting hospitality onto themselves.
Yeah.
And that is so key. It's the source of what it is.
It's really cool hearing you talk about this as kind of like, I wouldn't say an outsider, but like someone from the other side of the bar. Because like what you were saying before is that kind of struck me as very interesting is and especially talking about like TVs and bars and stuff like that. The TV, like a lot of cocktail bars, the TV, like the spectacular involvement is watching bartenders make their shit, you know,
right,
like make drinks and like doing the thing, like running the show. And what you said before was that you look around and you would notice how like customers were like enjoying their time. I never, like, honestly, like I get too, like, I'm too like tunnel vision a lot of times. Like, I mean, I see all this happening in my bar, but when I go to another bar, I'm kind of like focused on what's happening right in front of me, like when I'm watching the bartender do their thing or watching the chef do their thing at a restaurant. You know, like I always love, if there's an open kitchen, I want to sit there at that counter and be at the open kitchen. Same. I just like to see how things are done.
Same. In fact, I think that's how I sneakily fell in love with bartending. My last live kitchen job was a chef's counter where people sat, eight people could sit.
And you got to talk to
And we could
customers.
Talk to them.
Yeah, totally.
And then I went away from that and I taught at the culinary school and then I came to New York and I got behind a bar.
Yeah.
But like that was my experience. Like, oh, but it's not just through the double doors. I can interact with these people and be part of their experience.
Yes, because it's like we say, you're bartending, but so many people get wrapped up in the technique and everything else that you forget that there's vibrations and beings, human beings at your bar. You're really tending to them. And, you know, when you speak about this thing, we're talking about beverage trends at the New York Cocktail Expo, and we really are bridging the gap between consumer and trade there. So you really can now get with your guest. Beverage directors can see what consumers responded to, so they have that consumer confidence to invest in certain products they want behind their bar because their guests want those things. It's a two-way street. Part is us hanging out, tasting cool things, and going, this would be great. I want to culture my audience this way. But it's also them saying, yeah, but we like this too, and we come to your bar. Let's have that behind your
bar. I can
tell
you exactly what it is. It's something spicy, not too sweet.
Right? right. Maybe with mezcal.
So in beverage trends, yeah, we're talking about the longevity of the industry. And that's why we talk about the vibration so much. We have a parable at the New York Cocktail Expo. You guys might enjoy. Bartenders seem to enjoy this story. It's called The Gardener. And The Gardener, his skill set through time, of course, is to know how to cultivate and make his garden grow. So within his garden, he has all sorts of different trees. There's herbs. There's fig trees. There's cactus. There's peppers. There's all these things. And each one of those plants needs to be cared for very differently. Some need their leaves clipped. Some need a lot of sunlight. Some don't need any sunlight at all. And it's his job and function to know how to take care of every single one of those plants so that they can blossom and grow. There's also weeds in the garden. The weeds are going to kill those plants in the garden. So it's the gardener's job to make sure he's taking care of those weeds and taking care of that garden. Now, all of those different plants in the garden, who do they represent? Everyone that comes to sit at your bar.
Sure.
Somebody comes in, it's a vibrational thing. You're a great bartender, you know he wants to be left alone. I went to a bar one time, I had the vibe of I wanted to be left alone. I think bartender was practicing chops, hey, what's your sign? And I had to wrap up my check and go because I was just in one of those moods and it actually chased me out of the bar.
Sure.
So it's one of those things where when you know how to care for your garden, what are you doing? You're cultivating the garden and your garden grows.
Yeah.
When you're not focused on hospitality, the weeds take over, the drunk old guy hitting on all the girls and everything, and you don't have your chops down to take care of those things, this is when your garden dies. When people are having that, this guy didn't even acknowledge me when I came in. Is there something wrong with me? What's going on? Why can't we get served? These vibes are no good. Hey, one and done. Let's go to the next bar. Hey, we did that place, but we're not going to go back. The problem is that you get people that come in, they leave. The longevity belongs to so many of these gastropubs and dives and taverns because that's where just that booze and vibe is going. So the story of the gardener really reminds us about hospitality, and you're really tending to something. You're not just tending the bar, you're tending to beings. And that's how you make your garden grow. And that creates a longevity for the industry. When we focus on vibration and hospitality, it's going to be long. What's always been there? Booze. What hasn't? Cocktail bars. People want escapism. They want that raw escapism. If they don't get that after the 40-hour work week, they're just going to go to the tavern and hang out and down shots.
Yeah, that's a great parable.
I like story. I mean, you're definitely like reaching me as part of your audience because I'm a total hippie. So I like this whole like garden growing analogy.
I can see you in the garden with the hat and everything and taking care of every stuff. So that's the story of the gardener for the New York Cocktail Expo about hospitality.
I love that. That's great, man.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
It reminds me of, you know, we all know Jim Meehan was very famous for saying, I don't serve drinks, I serve people.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
So yes.
It's like that's the lengthier story.
You're not the rock star, your guest is.
Yeah.
Once you focus on your guest as the rock star and we take that term out of things, it's not about your head, it's about your heart.
Right. It's not my party, it's their party.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So
vibrations, yeah.
What's cool about this to me is like the very like unfortunately very recent conversation that's been had, I would say maybe like over the past like 2, maybe 3 years, I don't know. But it's just like the generation of this this vibe and conversation of true hospitality and like kind of taking out the kind of rock star mentality of like mixology or like rock star chefs and all this shit, you know, like, which is actually shit. It's like fucking bullshit, right? Like, getting that shit out of the way and then getting down to what's actually happening. Like, I would say, like, calling a cocktail bar is redundant. It's like calling a restaurant a food restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this is a restaurant that specializes in food.
Tuna fish.
This is a bar that specializes in cocktails. It's like fucking ridiculous, man. Yeah. So, but I, you know, going back to that point, like, I really like the idea and the enthusiasm that you have behind this, because, like, it is true. Man, we've been talking a lot about this lately.
Yeah.
We've spoken so rarely about, like, cocktail techniques and, yeah, and
this show's about hospitality and bartending.
Yeah, we've like, just in recent, like, shit, man, like the last, like, year, we've mostly been focusing on, like, the idea of hospitality, and a lot of that is sharing information,
yeah,
yep, and techniques and stuff like that. But it's not like showboating behind, right, your bar, and it's not about, like, sit down, shut up, and like,
right,
let's talk.
You're taking care of people.
Shut up and then let's talk.
Isn't the idea that, you know, hospitality starts in the home? That's where the term comes from. You're taking care of people. They're your guests. You're there to care for them. And I've had bartenders, you know, I've been out. I get a pretty good tolerance from going to all these bars. I'm a pretty big guy, but sometimes I don't have enough food in my stomach. And I've had great bartenders that had a really good chop to cut me off. Not that I was belligerent. I never get that way. But they were taking care of me before it got that way. Yeah. I said, hey, can I get your check for you? Yeah. I didn't ask for it.
How about a glass of water?
Anything. And I, you know, it's like, yes, that's so great. And when I leave and it hits you and you're glad you're safe in your home, it's like, thank you for taking care of me.
Yeah.
Which is that kind of segue into what I really like what's trending now, which is low ABV drinks.
Yeah.
Or just drinks. I'm loving this so much.
Well, let's take a quick pause, actually. Yeah. And we'll come back and talk about low ABV drinks. And then we need to talk about the expo.
Yeah.
And instead of drinking low ABV, we're going to drink this beautiful bottle that you brought us. We're going to take a quick break.
I want to, and when we get back, I want to remind me, because I want to tell you about something that was a major, like, it hits the food side, the responsibility side, and low ABV side.
Cool.
Yeah. I've got a cool one for you.
We'll take a quick break. Stay with us. Come right back to the speakeasy. Cheers.
Bye.
Cool.
Visiting the in-laws this weekend. They've asked you to bring wine. You need a bottle that says, I'm laid back enough that I didn't think about this choice for hours. But also, I've graduated from Two Buck Chuck, proving I can provide for your daughter and our future children. Where to go from here? Just ask Vivino. Vivino knows feeling pressured in the wine aisle can sour the whole experience. But with the largest wine inventory, Vivino gives you the best price on personalized picks based on your taste profile, then ships them right to your door. Scan wines, compare reviews, save your favorites, and even get unlimited free shipping with Vivino Premium, plus a free 30-day trial. So, when that next visit rolls around, you know exactly what that dry Alsatian Riesling says about your commitment to your mother-in-law's Sunday roast. Visit vivino.com/heritage to stock up. Vivino. Wine made easy.
You're listening to The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network.
It's a new Garden Club show.
Indeed. We got Matt Corey.
Well, speaking of gardens, I poured us some of this delicious... Well, we haven't tried it yet. You tried it, Damon. You said you tried it before.
I had this.
I brought you a gift.
How do you pronounce this?
So I just read it, and I don't know the pronunciation. Europan. But if that's the correct pronunciation, that I don't know.
Charanda Blanco, Europan, yeah. Single blended rum, quotes rum, from Mexico. And it's right away, the aroma tells me this is like an agricole.
Yeah.
Like funky.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. That's right. I'm getting into that funky stuff.
I bet Ed Rudisell knows all about this stuff.
Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Oh, okay.
Ooh. So there's actually like a pretty cool thing with like popularity of agricole rums, Clarin, from Haiti, stuff like that. So this is like...
Well, we're doing a lot of Martinique rums at the new windmill.
Yeah. Right?
Frenchy place.
Yeah, man.
This is... I'm enjoying it. I mean, it's the funky mixed with sweet together. Wow. They're kind of dancing like perfect strangers.
It's got to be... There's kind of like a...
Like nobody's watching.
There's like a smoky, like cucumbery kind of vibe to it as well. Like it's kind of like this is like, what's the proof on this?
46.
Yeah,
46. Yeah, 46. That makes sense.
Yeah, 46.
So this is, you know, I have a lot of cool 92. Influencers and tastemakers in my circle. They're always trying to turn me onto things, and for me, it's like the expo actually represents me. It's educational. I'm always learning. It's something else. I'm always learning. So this was given to me by home barman of 4519, a true speakeasy in Astoria. His name is Peter Roccaforte, one of the most hospital guys you'll ever meet, and today is his birthday.
Oh, so I'm going to say happy birthday, Peter.
And he said, Matt, we got to get this rum. And that's why I got this rum. So he selected this one. He thought I would like it, and we would like it as well. And he thought of you, Souther.
Oh,
so
thanks.
Cheers, Peter. I'm and digging it. I think he made a good choice.
I'm digging it.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Funky and grassy. And yeah, you're right. There's a little smoky
like cucumber. A grill,
like a grilled cucumber.
Yeah.
Oh, I like
it. Well, speaking of... Oh, actually, that's perfect. Because actually, what I was talking about before the break was the mark of hospitality and like the things you can do. I was at Phil Ward's bar, MyOL, which rest in peace. And one day we were sitting there and we were just like we were drinking like some Palomas. We're like, just kind of take it easy on the alcohol. We just want something refreshing, and we had these Palomas, and then he just took like garnishes from the bar. Like he took a cucumber and he like mandolined it. You know, like thinly sliced it, put it on a long plate, and he took a lime and he squeezed it over the top, and then salt and pepper, and cayenne pepper. And
was he making you a salad?
Exactly. Well, it was cool. The way it was laid out was just like long, and it was like, he was like, hey, you want a snack? I was like, you just did that with your fucking garnishes, man.
Right, right.
Amazing. But that was so cool because, right. Like, they have food there. They have a kitchen.
Yeah.
Or yeah. He did, at least. You know, whatever. But the thing is, like, he was like, need a snack. So I started doing that at Primeats back in the day. Like, after I saw that, I was like, dude, this is incredible. I started doing it with cucumbers and, like, I was using chartreuse, but...
Right. Yeah, chartreuse face. That reminds me of this concept we were doing for a restaurant, because I get into marketing and I'll come in from conceptual angles where I'm not this totally trained mixologist. I'm a marketing person and I can go concepts. So we wanted to have a different presentation to bring higher quality rums and a higher quality spirit into the shot world. So it's deconstructed tiki drinks where you could start with your rum, then you go to lime, then orsha, and then you can go to coconut cream, and you're having this taste experience that brings you, and the garnishes end up eating at the end.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a deconstructed cocktail. So it's a fun presentation if you're doing tiki and you can invest in your theme. You remember those little sets you used to build in elementary school with the shoebox and you'd put everything so your tiki drinks are in there and you can mix it up. And now you're bringing
I used to always do deconstructed tiki drinks when I was in elementary school. Yeah.
It's fun. It's a fun adventure. Low ABV still drinks, I have to say, is a big part of this hospitality thing because it got me thinking about taking care of the guest. And his times, you know, where my girlfriend, Nikki... I would take her to a bar and she'd have two drinks and have to stop and be, that's too much. Yeah. And now it's like, I'm taking care of her when we were in someone else's home. And it really got me to thinking about tolerance and culture and what's happened. The old paradigm of the old cocktail ratios, an ounce and a half, 2 ounces of booze and everything.
I would conject that those are relatively new. Back in the day, it was backwards. Right, what we call an upside down Manhattan was a Manhattan. 2 ounces of vermouth with maybe an ounce of whiskey.
Okay, so right, so now you're trying to bracket it into a time frame.
We're going back.
You're trying to bracket it. So that's this whatever time frame that's in. That's what's happening. And now people rely on those structures to make their drinks. And when you get into the low ABV world and drink world that has nothing to do with alcohol, I mean, people go to Starbucks for caffeine. They're in and out there all day long. There's other stimulants besides alcohol here. There's so many things we're not thinking about. That's cool. Capsaicin, aphrodisiacs. You know, infusing these things to give you different type of 420 is coming around. Infusions, all these different things. So when I got to thinking about this, I started making, you know, there's a drink I make at home now that has like a half an ounce of bourbon in it. You know, and it's got almond milk. I'm working a lot with almond milk now. I'm using stevia, 100% honey, because I have so many sweeteners, I got to watch out now.
Right.
So now I'm using coconut palm sugar, making syrups with that stuff. It's delicious. It's like a molasses. It's wonderful stuff. So there's an ounce and a half of booze. I had three of them, and I was feeling a little saucy there. Right. There was no, I was like, if this was my culture and this was my world, a drink with an ounce of booze would be considered high octane. So when you're in a culture that has an ounce and a half to 2 ounces of booze, and that's what we keep pushing and keep pushing, there's a lot of voice coming from our industry about being responsible. Well, if you're spending a lot of time on a cocktail and you give it to somebody, you want them to have an amazing flavor and taste, or do you want that to be the last drink they had that night before they got behind the wheel or they got sick and someone had to take care of them? So I think part of this hospitality thing is saying, how many ounces of booze really should be in a drink, and should we start treading new ground with half ounce, more liqueurs, different things, and focus on flavor? Absolutely. You go to Rita's, you go Ralph's, you're having ices, you go to smoothies, you go to a smoothie, there's no booze in there, but people are addicted to taste and so many other things. So when you focus on psychology and vibe, if you guys are drinking and I'm not here, somehow I'm connected to your vibe in some way, and that has a lot to do with your experience also. So this is something I'm really liking for health and to be more responsible as well. A year and a half ago, I looked like I was 28. So much water, and now it's like all these drinks and all my job. I'm like, I look like my age now. You know, it's crazy.
Is New York Cocktail Expo going to focus on low ABV this year, or do you have an angle for that? Well, actually, let's just talk about New York Cocktail Expo in general.
Yeah, let's go there.
What's the layout? How's this thing work?
So this is our fifth show.
Talk about this, but then I want to circle back to low ABV.
We can always hang after and have some drinks. This is our fifth show, so we are New York born and raised. First show was 2016, and from that, we actually started in the Long Island market, which needed some love, so we brought a lot of brands out there. They started doing a lot of work out there, where there's a lot cool scene happening right there on Long Island. So we're going to have spirit brands are teaming up with bartenders. So they're coming in. You're not just going to get a spirit tasting. They're also going to be working with product. So for example, like Diplomatico Rum will be teaming up with Patent Pending to do a tasting as well.
Cool.
So you have a returning champion from Astoria was Mike DeTota from the Bonnie. He's coming back this year teaming up with Benham's Gin. So we will have New York City, Brooklyn, Queens, all going drink to drink for best cocktail. So if you're a bartender, you want to get involved, you want to team up with a spirit, get in touch, write to nycocktailexpo@gmail.com. Spirits also, you want to get on board and team up with bartenders, you know, not just meet them there, but actually be working with them and already have a relevant reason to be talking to them. Get in touch, and that's what we're doing. So we have our main tasting room with all the spirits when the cocktail tastings, but we also have this year is a new rum room. So this is going down August 19th. It's a Sunday. It's at the Melrose Ballroom in Long Island City. Melrose Ballroom. It's going to be 2 to 7 p.m. are going to be the tastings. And then for VIP guests who are, you know, there's only a limited amount, so you got to get that ticket now. We're going to do a rooftop after party from 7 to 9. DJ hanging out, no worries. But special this year is the rum room, which I'm super psyched about. So we're going to have rum selections in there, 1888 teaming up with Dromedary Bar. You're going to have Rum JM is going to be there, the Real McCoy Rum. A lot of these rums are looking for bartending partners. So if you're getting excited about this, I got a really cool announcement. So we are now holding, after Tiki's becoming so popular right now, it's coming to a head, we are holding New York's official Tiki Throwdown. So in our rum room with the bartenders and those spirits, they're going to be serving tiki cocktail samples, but serving full cocktail presentations to the judges, and that's going to be super fun. So our announcement for our official judge for the Tiki Throwdown is Brian Miller from the Polynesian. So you want to serve some drinks to Brian Miller, super cool dude, really doing it awesome. We're spreading the tiki love right now. You want to serve some drinks to Brian Miller, be judge, want to come together at the Tiki Throwdown, get in touch, nycocktailexpo@gmail.com. But we are super psyched about this Tiki Throwdown. So that's going to be super fun.
Excellent, man. That sounds like a ton of fun, actually.
Yeah.
So New York Cocktail Expo, how many days of events is going on?
So we have typically been a one-day event.
Oh, it's just one day. Okay, cool.
And we had just had people say, hey, we'd love to do seminars. Our people work with us said we'd love to do seminars. So we said, okay, we'll add a couple. We don't have 50, 100 seminars. We're not doing a week-long thing. We just kind of go incremental. So actually, our good friend Eamon Rocky, he was doing a Milk Punch seminar,
yes.
A Let's Clarify seminar, and actually that sold out like in 3 days. It got packed quick. Yeah, it's an RSVP. There's no cost to the ticket.
Was he doing that with Gareth? Girth House?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So Dewars is going to be rocking that with him.
The two milk punch dudes
in New York, right? And that they both have different methodology. I love it. Right?
Yeah. Ames, that was a fun show.
Ames is more sciencey, and Gareth is more old school.
Just like.
But the results are similar.
Yeah, it's awesome. Exactly.
So I'll be there attending that as well. We also have Rumfire is going to be doing a seminar. Diplomatic.
Rumfire.
I love Rumfire, man.
Dude, it's so good.
Yeah, speaking of low ABV.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And also Maison Livlaire is another brand coming up. If I'm pronouncing that right. They have delicious rum. I was so psyched about it. They're doing a seminar as well. So those are going to be announced shortly. But Eamon's was announced. It was our feature kind of seminar to really kick this off, and that did sell out pretty quick. So awesome. If you're looking to get in on seminars, check us out and make sure you sign up quick.
Awesome. So it's just a one-day packed full. What time is it starting to end?
Well, let me clarify, pun intended. August 19th is going to be the tastings with the after party. And then on Monday, August 20th, those few seminars will take place at separate locations.
So you've grown into 2 days this year.
Yeah. Why not? You know,
evolution, man.
Yeah.
Evolution and growth.
We're growing.
That's rad.
Yeah, we're spreading the message. But as far as low ABV, as you said, we just encourage it. We don't say these are the guidelines you have to do low ABV. We encourage ABV.
I will say this, actually. Speaking of low ABV and tiki, I know that like tiki drinks are typically, like historically, they tend to include a lot of very high octane rums. But at the same time,
they're usually pretty long. You know, you get your zombie and it's got a lot of stuff in there, but it's got a lot of pebble ice and it dilutes as you're drinking it and it takes a while to get through it.
But also you take a while to go through it.
Yeah, you take a while to get through there.
Yeah, exactly. And the same thing, it kind of maybe equals out, it evens out. But the thing is, anytime that I, a lot of the old school tiki recipes are, there's so much shit going on in them. There's so many ingredients. And a lot of the old school ones, which is why tiki is so cool, is because it's kind of a collector's sport, right? You have to find the right rum.
Right, yeah.
You have to find this one that's so legit for this 1936 recipe or this 1971 version of the zombie or whatever. You know, it's a collector's vibe, you know? And that's what a lot of cocktail enthusiasm is, right? You're like, well, I found this old bottle of Hermes bitters, orange bitters, you know, I had to go to Japan to get it or whatever. I found this old bottle of Peychaud's that I got from I bought from Soul Agent, you know, in Chicago. And now I can make a legit old school Sazerac because I found a bottle of cognac from 1860 or whatever, pre-phylloxera, you know, shit like that, you know?
Right.
So typically, to me, whenever I'm sipping on a tiki drink, I'm sipping on it. I'm not slamming it. It's not it's not a whiskey highball. But it's not the same way that if I'm having a Katie Stipe drink, I think it's Katie Stipe drink, the Rum with a View.
Oh yeah, I think that's her.
It's Campari and dry vermouth, and it essentially it's a Ricky outside of that.
Yeah.
It's low ABV. I'm not here to get fucked up,
right?
You know, but over here with the tiki drink, I'm
a lot of this is on us as the keepers of the gate, as it were, as the educators, like Matt's doing with his expo. I don't think that I don't want to speak out of turn here, but I don't really think that our guests necessarily get the difference. I don't think a guest necessarily sees the difference in the ABV of, say, a bamboo cocktail and an old-fashioned. These are both cocktails that I just sip, right?
It's just blank?
I don't think it's a blanket term, rather. It's totally blank, but I don't think...
Blanket term. It's like alcohol.
Yeah, I'm drinking. Well, I'm having a drink. Had four drinks last night. Oh, did you? Did you have four bamboos or four old-fashions or two and two? Where did you land?
That's a big difference.
That's a huge difference.
It's great.
That's four, basically, glasses of big wine versus four pretty powerful cocktails. Yeah. And I don't think that the guest necessarily sees the difference.
They don't.
And it's up to us to educate them.
I mean, look, there's things like taste addiction, craveability, all these things that have nothing to do with bars, all these drinks that don't have alcohol, and also culture. If you go into a dive bar, when I was behind the stick there, somebody said, hey, you make good cocktails, make me some drinks. So I said, you got it. This guy comes in and he does, you know, two fingers of Johnny Walker Black every day, and he goes back to back to back to back. So this guy's tolerance is through the roof, and he just downs these things. Small, small guy. So I'm making him these cruiser drinks, and cruiser drinks, I love fizzy and bubbly drinks. You know, 2 ounces of your booze, 1 ounce of sweet, 1 ounce of sour, and top it off with bubbles. It's a cruiser, and you can do all these different cruisers. So I was making, he's like, I love this thing. He's like, I love this thing, blah, 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 whatever. And by the end, he texts me, he goes, I didn't get wasted. What's wrong? What's going on? So he's coming to the thing.
The fact that you asked that question.
He came in to get drunk, and he's going, are you guys putting iced tea in the whiskey? Stuff like that. So people are there. If they have that intention, they want to get drunk, they have a motive. But if they're going out to have a nice time, why should we say low ABV, not that you're ordering a drink, and it's a delicious drink, you love it, wonderful. And when they ask, you can tell them about what's in it.
Yeah,
but I think it's almost exclusively American. You know, like where people are just drinking to get drunk.
Yeah, that's true.
You go to Italy and you have a fucking, you have an Americano or like a...
With lunch.
Maybe a spritz, you know, you just do that casually through the day.
Yeah.
No big deal. You know, and then like maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, then you have a Negroni.
But
right. You
know? Why are we boozing people up, though, in a sense? If it's hospitality, why are we... I mean, people go and do shots. It's an ounce of booze. Granted, there's nothing else, and you shoot it to your system. But now you're talking a cocktail has 1.5 to 2 ounces of booze in it. Guys, this is a lot. If you've been drinking low ABV drinks for 3 months, you've already done the paradigm shift. You've already sort of adapted into this. And if you're at, like, a low ABV... Let's say there was some popular drinks bar in Greenpoint, Brooklyn that does this stuff, and they nailed their marketing. They were really good. They make no alcoholic tiki drinks because that could just be delicious, awesome stuff with no... I use dried plum juice for my daiquiris as my rum base.
Well, sure. Don't forget, we've got Seed Lip on the market now, which is a non-alcoholic distillate.
So if you're hanging out as a group of friends, they're partying, they're having a good time, they're drinking these Instagrammable drinks, but people are building their bar programs now based on being Instagrammable. I think that's why tiki is coming so popular now. And then everyone's having fun, they're fine, and your buddy rolls in with an old fashioned in the glass, and people go, hey man, is everything all right? Like, do you need help? Is something okay? Because then by way of perception and the culture change, if that was popular and been going on for a while, your perception would go, that's a lot of booze. Yeah. So this is about adapting perception, which is why if you went down this road and started making all these new drinks that didn't have a lot of alcohol, but people still loved it and they still were getting their kind of boozy fix, because you do get buzzed off of these drinks anyway, then you start to change and go, why are we boozing people up? 1.5 ounces is a lot to put in one drink. And when you got that situation where someone gets drunk off two and you're like, I have to take care of them now, it starts to make a lot of sense. How are we taking care of people? How are we tending to people? And how are we responsible? Are we going to be making amazing drinks and that's what we care about? Or are you caring about how much booze goes into it?
Sure.
Big difference.
Guess what? Food doesn't have alcohol in it.
Yeah, people go to restaurants and spend lots of money and lots
of time. Ever think about that?
Cheese. Yeah. Give me all the cheese, man.
Seriously.
Addicted.
No booze in that.
So, yeah. Well, so, New York cocktail. I mean,
I think it's also interesting to maybe think about, you know, soon it seems pretty inevitable that marijuana is going to be legalized everywhere. But even where it already is.
There's CBD cocktails.
Sure.
But I mean, I'm leaving cocktails behind for a second and talking about the marijuana. Like, I went to a shop out in Seattle to pick up some stuff for Natalie. I don't care for that stuff. She likes it. And when you're in there, they tell you everything. They say, oh, this one is like 5.5 of whatever the stuff is, CBD or whatever. This one is 0.10, and this one's 0.20. Like, where are you looking to go? So I feel like the consumer is going to learn that there are gradations of how, you know, the effects of that can be. And maybe we just need to point out to them, like, hey, you know, don't forget, this is 40% or 80 proof. Your cocktail's probably going to come out, you know, to somewhere around 30% after dilution and everything. Yeah. Or you can drink this bamboo, which is going to come out to probably around 22.
I love what you're talking about. I love it because it had me thinking about this nutrient thing and the term mixology, how people love it, they hate it. And I said, you know what? Finally, with this thing I'm doing at home with these nutrients and getting back into health, the mixology term becomes more clear. It's something you can train for and be certified for. It wouldn't be just about technique or how you are as a bartender and recipes. You should know what you're putting in your drink, what nutrients are in the ingredients, what happens when you blend kale, the component structure changes inside those nutrients inside. So if you're shaking a drink, how much dilution, if you're stirring it, whatever technique you're using, you should also know what happens to those ingredients and what happens to the body. So sure. I think you guys, so at home, you know, everybody loves to make the Ramos Gin Fizz. is and talk about their technique. And so I'm at home. I'm buying all this new water. Now I'm working with cactus water. I'm working with coconut water, red ginseng water. So, okay, I just worked out. I actually started working out again, lift some weights. I was like, I need to get my post-workout meal in. I'm going to make a Ramos red ginseng fizz. That's what I'm going to make, a Ramos, no booze. So this is kind of what it looks like. It's a red ginseng water. It's all the same specs that you would use. You have your orange blossom water, which really makes it taste like that flavor. The red ginseng water is a little nutty, but water can take on any flavor. It's like a chicken wing. You can anything you can infuse into water, that becomes anything. So your sours are the same, the lemon lime. Then I'm using stevia or honey, and I'm going aquafaba, and I'm using a whipped almond milk creamer. Then here's the kicker, vanilla protein powder for my post-workout. So here I am making a cocktail that's super healthy for me. Red ginseng water is like, has antioxidants. It's good for inflammation. It benefits your brain function. It's good for your libido. And now it's like, here's what's in my drink. Here's what it does for you, mixologist. And you can train for that. You could be certified for this kind of thing. So the term doesn't have to be so, oh, it's so whatever.
Lofty, yeah.
You really could be trained as a nutritionist and everything else with the bar technique and everything else on top of it. So that really just kind of, I was like, yeah, mixology. Man. Nutritionist meets bartender.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
It's pretty fascinating, man. And we're excited to come to New York Cocktail Expo.
I want to say really quickly, like, aquafaba is like one of the coolest things to use in a cocktail, like outside of like if you're trying to make any kind of like sour fizz kind of like situation.
I've got a beautiful aquafaba cocktail in my book, which comes out on August 28th.
Wait, the book where you
you've done it. That's right. Congratulations on your book, Souther.
I'm just here for the drinks available now on Amazon.com.
The one where you
love it.
You know, you take a lot of photos from a bar where you don't shake things.
Yeah.
So you're doing a stirred aquafaba cocktail?
No. We got behind that little bar and
this
shook some
viscous,
stuff.
This is viscous, this drink. It's very viscous.
We got behind that little bar and shook some stuff.
New York
Cocktail
Expo.
We took photos everywhere.
New York Cocktail Expo.
I just really want to say real quick, dude, this is like, I've had a blast on this show.
Yeah, this is fascinating.
This has been a really fun time. You've been a great guest, and
thank you, Dave.
Wow, man, I've learned a lot.
Yeah, we need to have you back and talk more about this sort of nutritional angle. I wanted to talk about New York Cocktail Expo to get some people over there for you. But
well,
talk about this.
It's August 19th. Tickets are on sale now. NYCocktailExpo.com. I've got a special discount for your guests. Use promotional code Speakeasy for 20% off tickets.
Hey,
get those VIP tickets so you can get to the rooftop after party. So that's Sunday, 2 to 7 p.m., nycocktailexpo.com. We even have discounts if you're going as a cocktail crew or a cocktail entourage. You get 4 tickets. They're discounted. It's going to be super blast. It's going to be the ultimate Sunday fun day. And trade, come down, taste new products on the market. Bartender spirits, get involved. Contact us so you can showcase and make drinks for the best cocktail competition of 2018 with judges Eamon Rocky, Will Elliott, and Pam Wisnitzer. It's going to be amazing. So we're going to have a super good time. Come hang out with us at NY Cocktail Expo 2018.
Sounds you know, I'm usually fantastic. Available Sundays between 2 and 7. So.
Yeah, well, you guys are going to be my guests.
I'll definitely be there.
Right?
Cool. We'll. By the way, I'll repost all that stuff you just said about the discount using the code Speakeasy.
Yeah.
I'll put that on our new Instagram, which is Speakeasy Podcast. So follow us there. Slide into our DMs and send us some questions for upcoming guests. Next week, we got Jesse Scheidlower. That's not next week. Let me look at my calendar. Next week, we got... that is right. Jesse Scheidlower, he's the operator of Threesome Toll Booth.
Threesome,
Which is the bar that only seats 2 people. It's really amazing. I got to go. I highly recommend it. He's a character in general.
Can we... Souther, can we go have a threesome?
You and I.
There?
Let's do it.
All right, we should.
There you go.
but also, I need to mention this. This is a big deal, and I want to make sure I get it on the air before Tales of the Cocktail, which, by the way, after the show on the 18th, I take off to go to Tales. When do you go, Damon? The next day?
I go on Thursday.
Yeah. Well, I actually go Thursday, too. So, yeah. Cool. Because we're going down, because we're up for an award.
And thank you, everyone, for the continued support and everything. We're actually up for our
first Tales ever Spirited Award.
Thank you.
Congratulations, guys.
We're in the category of best broadcast, podcast, or online video series up against our good friends Bartender at Large, which is Eric Castro. Also on there is Whiskey Cast and
Bar None.
And Bar None, right.
Yeah.
No, wait, that's not right.
Is that right?
No.
Not right?
You're messing me up. You're messing with my head, Damon. Why can't I remember the fourth one?
Well, there were 10 in the original.
There category. Were 10. Yeah, I'm just trying to remember the fourth of the four. Oh, Life Behind Bars. Duh.
Life Behind Bars. Noah yeah,
and,
yeah,
exactly. With Noah and yeah. Dave, which who just
so
had
we're not going to win
last week.
But we're going down anyway. So
we are going down. But listen, here's the thing: I'm going to do on July 19th. The team from Bitter Queens are throwing an event called Studio 504 Tales of the Tea Dance, a benefit for LGBTQ youth. Bitter Queens, Tales of the Cocktail Foundation are bringing you this, the first ever official LGBTQ event at Tales of the Cocktail in their ongoing effort to be more inclusive.
This is first ever?
First ever.
Wow.
Pretty rad. So you can come on down and drink beverages created from some of your favorite bartenders using spirits from LGBTQ-owned and operated spirits brands from around the country. It's a 70s event, so dress in your best disco finery. All the profits are going to go to Breakout NOLA, an organization that supports LGBTQ youth. You can RSVP at studio504tales.eventbrite.com. So that's the word studio, the number's 504, the word tales.eventbrite.com. It's a $30 donation, which supports Breakout NOLA. You get the commemorative tank top, drink tickets, light bites, and all the disco beats that you can handle. And I think this is a pretty cool thing, and it's
sounds amazing.
And they're a bitters company. They're a bitters company that I stand behind. We have we carry their bitters on the bar to Maury Margo. We use them in our drinks, and they're just a couple of really cool, upstanding dudes, the Bitter Queens.
Yeah.
So that's right really on. Rad. But back to our guests. I was being serious. You can definitely slide into our DMs. What we're trying to get is a little bit more audience interaction with us, and get you involved with the show. So if you want to, if you have any questions, you might want to ask Jesse Scheidlower. Drop us a line on our Speakeasy podcast. Drop us a line also on Twitter at Speakeasy Radio. We'll get those questions, and if you get them in before next week's show, we'll ask Jesse live on the air. He's also a fascinating character. He wrote the book called Fuck, which is just a lengthy definition of the word fuck, because he used to work for the Oxford English Dictionary. This guy is kind of a genius.
I can't wait for the show. I've been looking forward
yeah,
to
me
it.
Too. Yeah. Me too. It's going to be really cool. And I can't wait to sort of secretively talk about his bar, because you're not supposed to talk about it, because it's such an experience. He doesn't want people to have it ruined. Right.
So all hey, I can, you mean the word fuck or the
no, I am no the bar. I can't. I can't. He'll elaborate as much as he wants, and we'll just have to go along for the ride. But you and I need to go together.
Well, speaking of going along
great.
For the ride, it'll be a great show to have. Like right before we go to Tales,
right
we'll
before
have a
we
lot
go
of,
to Tales,
we'll have a lot of conversational topics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we'll have one.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'm going to wrap up the show real fast just by reminding you one more time. We're in the middle of our summer fun drive. It goes all the way through July 31st. We're trying to raise $25,000 for the station in general and for the show to keep us all on air. You can go to heritageradionetwork.org, click on the beating heart, and it'll guide you towards how to donate. You can even choose shows that you want to donate directly mm-hmm. to. You can also choose an option that lets you automatically donate monthly, as low as $5 a month and as high as your credit card will allow you to go, I guess. And again, there's tons of cool member gifts that you get for different levels of whatever.
And we should also thank all of our listeners who have donated.
And don't forget, if anybody,
far.
And of course, and if anybody remembers or goes back and listens to last week's episode, Dave Wondrich and Noah Rothbaum offered to ice you. Surprised that they'll come when they want to if you donate $25,000 and hit our goal right away. So there's that. That's all I got, Damon. What do you got?
That was, well, you just read my mind. Because. Of all the other things that you just said, which are very important to mention and announce, I think one of the most important parts was reminding people that Dave Wondrich and Noah Rothbaum will ice them for $25,000.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that, that's just like...
I think there's somebody out there who wants that to happen.
Yeah.
Whether you want $25,001, we'll follow with our audio equipment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? We'll even make it. We'll bring a camera. We'll
make a Facebook Live out of it. And, I thought of this, too. Who wants to get iced? You can buy this and have someone iced.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's like hiring a hitman.
Yep.
A couple of drunken hitmen.
That's like someone's going to do it for like a wedding gift
yes.
or something. You know, some cocktail nerd out there is going to do that.
Yeah, man.
They better.
Yeah.
Do that. Anyway, well, this has been a really great show, man. Thank you so much for coming on the air for like the afternoon and, bringing some great rum and just great conversation. It's always wildly entertaining for me to as a and inspirational for me as like someone who, as a bar owner, I know Souther, you probably feel the same way. Mm-hmm. But like also as just an enthusiast, which led me into where I am in this industry, to hear someone speak so passionately about your experiences and the stuff that you're doing, I want to say thank you for
yeah, man, it gets us fired up.
Yeah.
Great.
It's really cool. And shit, man, I can't wait for the event, man.
Yeah, New York Cocktail Expo 2018.
Sundays.
Yeah.
Sunday.
All I can say, guys, is I just want to say thank you, and it has been a true honor to sit with you and talk. I truly enjoyed it, and I definitely feel the good vibe in the room. And
awesome, man.
Well, yeah, it's all about those vibrations, man.
Yeah. It is.
All right, let's vibrate these glasses.
Keeping the garden growing, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. All right.
Till next week. This is the Speakeasy on Harris Radio.
Cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in that rhythm.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Heritage_Radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.